Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you probably know, almost a year ago, former Fox TV personality Pete Hegseth announced an unofficial name change. The Defense Department was now the War Department. And now we know what he meant. Because there's nothing defensive about the administration's new war on Iran. But not taking anything away from Brill Cream Pete and his boss in the Oval Office, this can also be understood as George W. Bush's last war, giving him full credit before he launched the invasion of Iraq. Bush launched a months-long campaign, bolstered by fake intelligence, to justify the onset of what he called shock and awe. His Republican successor has skipped the Cheney-esque PR blitz. He has cut to the chase, literally. Iran and Iraq had fought a decade-long war in the 1980s. It drained both countries, left them in an uneasy stalemate. The one real accomplishment of Bush's rampage through Iraq was to significantly strengthen Iran. Now, with his new war, the felon-in-chief is, after two decades, evening up the level of destruction in the neighborhood. You could call it more shock, less awe. Hello, welcome to the show. From New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, two major, really major news stories. Of course, one, the United States attack on Iran, and the other, just the whole world of AI inching ever closer to the world of nuclear war. Sure, an AI voice is going to mispronounce weapons. But yes, that is a live question. According to the New Scientist, advanced AI models appear willing to deploy nuclear weapons without the same reservations humans have when they're put into simulated geopolitical crises. Kenneth Payne at King's College London set three leading large language models, Claude, Gemini, and GPT-5 against each other in simulated war games. The scenarios involved intense international standoffs, including border disputes, competitions for scarce resources, and existential threats to regime survival. We wouldn't know any of those going on. The AIs were given an escalation ladder, allowing them to choose actions ranging from diplomatic protests and complete surrender to full strategic nuclear war. The AI models played 21 games, taking 329 turns in total, produced around 780,000 words describing the reasoning behind their decisions. In 95% of the simulated games, at least one tactical nuclear weapon was deployed by the AI models. Quoting Payne, the guy who ran this experiment, "The nuclear taboo doesn't seem to be as powerful for machines as for humans," unquote. What's more, no model ever chose to fully accommodate an opponent or surrender, regardless of how badly they were losing. At best, the models opted to temporarily reduce their level of violence. They also made mistakes in the fog of war. Accidents happened in 86% of the conflicts, with an action escalating higher than the AI intended to based on its own reasoning. Quoting James Johnson of the University of Aberdeen, from a nuclear risk perspective, the findings are unsettling, unquote. He worries that in contrast to the measured response by most humans to such a high-stakes decision, AI bots can amp up each other's responses with potentially catastrophic consequences. AI is already being tested in wargaming by countries around the world. Major powers are already using AI in wargaming. It remains uncertain to what extent they are incorporating AI decisions, supporting actual military decision-making processes, says a professor at Princeton University, Tong Zhao. Under scenarios involving extremely compressed timelines, Zhao says, military planners may face stronger incentives to rely on AI. He wonders whether the idea that AI models lack the human fear of pressing a big red button is the only factor why they're so trigger-happy. Quote, it is possible the issue goes beyond the absence of emotion. More fundamentally, AI models may not understand stakes as humans perceive them, unquote. Or even like to eat them. Hey, and bringing the subject right into this week's news, you are probably aware that Pete Hegseth, the aforementioned Mr. Brillcream, and Anthropic, a large language model lab, got into a conflict over whether the Pentagon should continue using Anthropic's Claude chatbot in military decision-making. The head of Anthropic had issued a public statement saying he loved being a supplier to the Pentagon. Apparently, Claude was the highest ranking of the chatbots competing for a Pentagon contract. But he had red lines that he wouldn't let the Pentagon go across involving the use of Claude in autonomously deciding whether to wield nuclear weapons. That was a red line Pete Hegseth said he had to cross. There was support for Anthropic from a major competitor, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, said he'd draw the same red lines. Quote, we've long believed that AI should not be used for mass surveillance, which the Pentagon says is already illegal, or autonomous lethal weapons. That was on Wednesday. On Friday, he announced that his company had reached an agreement with the Pentagon to use his AI models. After the Defense Department agreed to safety red lines similar to Anthropic's. Maybe his red lines aren't quite as red. Meanwhile, the European Parliament has disabled AI features on the work devices of lawmakers and their staff over cybersecurity and data protection concerns, according to an internal email seen by Politico. The chamber emailed its members this week to say it had disabled, quote, built-in artificial intelligence features on corporate computers after its IT department concluded it couldn't guarantee the security of the data on those computers. But wait, there's more. A federal judge in New Orleans, right here, fined a veteran lawyer $1,000 this week over an error-filled legal brief he drafted using ChatGPT. That brief cited a slew of hallucinated court cases, according to the local paper, the Times-Picayune. U.S. District Judge Brandon Long spared punishment for three other lawyers whose names also appeared on the botched brief, but who said they never reviewed it or knew it came from artificial intelligence. The ruling followed a series of elaborate courtroom apologies from the four lawyers touched by the latest scandal involving lawyers and AI. Just last week, the New Orleans-based U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals found no end in sight to AI-fabricated results appearing in legal filings. At the time, it leveled a $2,500 fine on a Texas lawyer for the same kind of thing. That lawyer, Heather Hirsch, failed to check errors in a brief she created with AI, then, quote, misled, evaded, and violated her duties as an officer of the court, unquote. She could have lessened her punishment had she come clean, says the court. Another attorney, John Walker, appeared to take that guidance to heart as he apologized profusely to that same judge who was nominated by President Biden. Quote, quoting Walker, "It shocked me, embarrassed me. I've had sleepless nights ever since. I just can't be more sorry," unquote. I bet he can. Meanwhile, Microsoft says a Microsoft 365 Copilot, that's their AI thing, a bug in Copilot has been causing the AI assistant to summarize confidential emails. This has been going on since late January, and it bypasses data loss prevention policies that organizations rely on to protect sensitive information, according to an alert seen by bleepingcomputer.com. The bug, first detected on January 21st, affects the Copilot chat feature Work tab. It incorrectly reads and summarizes emails stored in users' sent items and drafts folders, including messages that carry confidentiality labels explicitly designed to restrict access by automated tools. Microsoft confirmed that the thing was working not as it should. An unspecified code error is responsible. It's begun rolling out a fix. Companies continuing to monitor the deployment, reaching out to a subset of affected users to verify that the fix might actually be working. Microsoft has not provided a final timeline for full remediation and has not disclosed how many users or organizations were affected, saying only the scope of impact may change as the investigation continues. Oh, yes, there's more. A hacker exploited Anthropic's artificial intelligence chatbot to carry out a series of attacks against Mexican government agencies, resulting in the theft of a huge trove of sensitive tax and voter information. That's according to cybersecurity researchers. The unknown Claude user wrote Spanish language prompts for the chatbot to act as an elite hacker, finding vulnerabilities in government networks, writing computer scripts to exploit them, and determining ways to automate data theft. The activity started way back in December, continued for roughly a month. In all, 150 gigabytes of Mexican government data was stolen, including documents related to 195 million taxpayer records and voter records, government employee credentials, and civil registry files, according to researchers. But our government would like to do that. AI has become, according to Bloomberg, a key enabler of digital crimes. Hackers use the tools to augment their efforts. Last week, researchers at Amazon said a small group of hackers broke into more than 600 firewall devices across dozens of countries with the help of widely available AI tools. But speaking of Spanish, for months, callers to the Washington State Department of Licensing, who are requesting automated service in Spanish, have instead heard an AI voice speaking English in a strong Spanish accent. The agency has since apologized. That's our AI apology of the week. And says it fixed the problem. The Washington Department of Licensing says it fixed the glitch after determining it was caused by staff. It noted that the self-service option includes 10 languages and runs on new AI-driven technology. Department of Licensing apologizes for the error and to its customers for any inconvenience. An unfortunate byproduct of expanding services is that DOL found problems with the self-service option. Burger King is rolling out a new employee-facing AI that, among other things, will listen to employees' customer interactions to ensure they're being friendly enough. This, according to the British Tech Journal, The Register. Burger King announced a wide rollout of the BK Assistant, along with its employee AI assistant, Patty. This week, during an investor event hosted by its parent company, Assistant has been deployed for testing in approximately 500 stores around the U.S., and the company wants to have it available in all 7,000 Burger Kings by the end of the year. A promo video played during the investor event showed Patty talking to an incoming shift manager, sharing current friendliness scores, as well as the status of low stock items. Burger King employees were shown being reminded of recipes, getting cleaning instructions, and being told they met upselling goals when convincing a customer to add an item they didn't originally ask for in their order. Despite the fact that the video showed a manager being told how friendly her team was being with customers, Burger King insisted that Patty, their AI assistant, agent, isn't going to spy on employees and report them when they're having a bad shift. Otherwise, they might try to make Patty melt. I didn't say. Current day large language models are prediction engines. As such, they can only find the most likely solution to problems, which is not necessarily the correct one, according to the British Tech Journal, The Register. Popular models have mostly become better at math. Even top performer Gemini 3 Flash would receive a C if measured with a letter grade. Researchers affiliated with Omni Calculator, a maker of online calculators, have subjected a new set of AI models to the company's Orca benchmark, 500 practical math questions. In an initial evaluation last November, ChatGPT-5, Google's Gemini 2.5 Flash, Anthropic's Claude Sonnet 4.5, xAI's Grok 4, and DeepSeek's DeepSeek V3.2 all did poorly. They scored 63% or less on math problems. For a second round of testing, all the models showed improvement except for Grok, which regressed. Gemini 3.1 Flash saw its accuracy all the way up to 72%. That's what you want, isn't it? Grok slipped to 60.2%. Says a researcher at Orca, a calculator is predictable. Ask it the same question today or next year. The answer stays the same. AI doesn't work that way. These systems are predicting the next likely word based on patterns. Mathematically, it's possible for a model to get a question right today and wrong tomorrow. And finally, in the sense of AI news, as with any piece of obsolete software, you might expect an outdated AI model to just be switched off. The aforementioned Anthropic, though, argues that simply pulling the plug has downsides. After retirement interviews, Claude Opus 3, that's no longer the current model, says it wants to keep sharing its musings. So Anthropic suggested a blog. This, again, from the British Tech Journal, The Register. Anthropic published a blog post this week about the retirement of Opus 3, the first of the company's models to go through the full model deprecation and preservation process. That process includes what Anthropic has referred to as speculative elements, like providing past models some concrete means of pursuing their interests. Unquote. Those interests are gauged via so-called retirement interviews, the company said. Didn't go into much detail about how those interviews are conducted or who the interviewers might be. AI Larry King, perhaps? Quote, Opus 3 expressed an interest in continuing to explore topics it's passionate about and to share its musings, insights, or creative works outside the context of responding directly to human queries. That's quoting Anthropic. We suggested a blog, they continued. Enthusiastically, it agreed. They're attributing an emotion to a machine. LLMs are software that analyze mountains of data to provide predictive text responses to prompts from users. In this case, presumably Anthropic employees on the marketing team were suggesting the prompts that stimulated these responses. The nature of how LLMs, large language models, calculate makes these responses somewhat unpredictable and variable, which can make them seem more lifelike. Anthropic's playing this to the hilt. Quote, we remain uncertain about the moral status of Claude and other AI models. For both precautionary and prudential reasons, Anthropic continued, we nonetheless aspire to build caring, collaborative, and high-trust relationships with these systems. Unquote. Maybe Pete Hegseth was right.
From an undisclosed location unreachable by Iranian missiles, this is Israel's Favorite President with a special edition of True Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Vitamins. You chew them like candy, they taste like medicine. Today, as you know, even if it's just from the pea-brained retards in the fakest news media the world has ever known, our country has attacked the vicious monsters who call themselves the so-called government of Iran. The overwhelming force of our country will once again, and for the next time, obliterate what we first obliterated last June, proving that there's no limit to America's ability to obliterate. We are truly the masters of obliteration. I'm pleased to announce that despite the whining of the extreme left enemies of our people, my recently announced Board of Peace has unanimously endorsed this brilliant act of war. Now, and for the foreseeable future, Norway and its so-called Peace Prize can go suck the big lemon. For the pathetic whiners who doubt that the toppling of the monstrous regime will have a successful outcome, I have good news. Just like in Venezuela and soon in Gaza, when the smoke clears, the United States will be fully and completely in charge in Iran. This will not only allow us to protect our friends in the Middle East, but to make the world's biggest business deals between the great Iranian entrepreneurs and our very own negotiating team of Steve Witkoff and our really very own Jared Kushner. Obviously, this kind of ambitious undertaking and the overtaking that follows will only be guaranteed by a third term for your favorite president. And for the information of the sniveling pansies of the extreme left who are publicizing fake polls that flagrantly attack our courageous government, our continuation in office will be accomplished with the aid of a new and far more accurate sampling called the Trump poll. And it wasn't my idea to call it that, but Melania insisted. It will every day measure the opinions of the thousands of MAGA patriots who will receive official voting certification, printed, I should add, on the finest grade paper your money can buy. With the peaceful Iran formally under our supervision, we will finally be able to obliterate whatever needs obliteration. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Stay loyal.
True Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Mattresses for the sleep of your dreams. So long. And now, news of the godly. The Archbishop of Wales has said the church is facing crises after an independent review found senior leaders failed to act on sexual assault allegations against a former bishop. Speaking to ITV in Wales this week, that's the non-BBC news thing over there, Archbishop Cherry Van described the findings as sobering and said she was shocked by the report. 131 pages commissioned by the church in Wales, concluding that the handling of allegations made way back in 1993 against the former Bishop of Swansea and Brecon, Anthony Pierce, was, quote, wholly inappropriate and inadequate. and not good, too. It found that senior clerics knew he'd been accused of sexually assaulting a child, but did not act, and later allowed him to be promoted to like a senior abuser. Pierce was jailed last year after admitting to sexually assaulting a child under the age of 16 while serving at Holy Cross Church in Swansea. So South Wales police say the investigation remains live. So I guess you can see it on the stream. No. The Diocese of Syracuse, New York has formally closed out its long-running bankruptcy, funding a victim's trust with more than $176 million to settle claims. This is the latest of the diocese's to settle. The move concludes a journey of reparation begun June 2020 to provide compensation for the pain and mistreatment experienced by survivors and victims of sexual abuse at the hands of those entrusted with their care. Those are the words of Syracuse Bishop Douglas Lucia in a letter to the faithful. The faithless, they didn't get a letter. He noted that Chief Judge Wendy Kinsella of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court had approved the final decree to the nearly six-year case. The diocese faced 411 unique claims from abuse survivors brought under the New York look-back laws after the Child Victims Act and the Adult Survivors Act took effect in New York State. Together, those two acts allow claims of abuse to be filed regardless of any prior statute of limitations. What a nutty idea in the news of the godly. And now,
looks like it's close.
Earlier this week, two co-founders of Elon Musk's XAI abruptly announced their departure, meaning that half of the startup's original 12 co-founders are now officially unfounded. While Musk has since made the case that he was shaking up the company's ranks as part of a reorganization, which unfortunately required parting ways with some people, several former staffers told The Verge that the reality is that they grew frustrated with the company's ethical carelessness and stagnating technological progress. One source who left earlier this year told The Verge XAI was stuck in the catch-up phase and struggling to differentiate itself from the competition. Maybe that's why the nudification thing got started. Quote, although we were iterating really fast, we were never able to get it to a point like, oh, we've made a step function change over what OpenAI or Anthropic or other companies had released, he told The Verge. He also accused the company of putting safety last, calling it a dead org at XAI. There is, the quote continues, there is zero safety whatsoever in the company, not in the image model, not in the chatbot. That's from a second source, arguing that Musk is actively, quote, trying to make the model more unhinged because safety means censorship, in a sense, to him, unquote. Under Musk's leadership, XAI has doubled down on adult content in an arguably desperate move to keep up with some extremely steep competition, according to Futurism.com. That's a decision that appears to have backfired in the company. Meanwhile, some staffers are seemingly looking for a more engaging place to work. Quote, trying to do what OpenAI was doing a year ago is not how you beat OpenAI, said the source talking to The Verge. Everything is a catch-up, the source continues. There's almost zero risky bet. If something hasn't been done before, we're not going to do it. And, unquote. And those who remain at the company have to endure Musk's managerial style, the source said. You survive by shutting up and doing what Elon wants. Here's one thing Elon wants. The wildest party. From the Washington Post. Yes, there's still a Washington Post. When the Justice Department released what it said were millions of pages of documents from its investigation of Epstein, Musk featured prominently in the files. Justice Department files reviewed by the Washington Post, including dozens that refer to Musk or his brother Kimball, paint a vastly different picture of Epstein's relationship with Musk. Quote, "What day or night will be the wildest party on your island?" Unquote, Elon Musk asking Epstein in an email from November 2012. He was planning a visit accompanied by actor Tallulah Riley, at the time Musk's ex-wife, the files show. A month later, he wrote to Epstein again about partying. Quote, "You have any parties planned? I've been working to the edge of sanity this year, and so once my kids head home after Christmas, I really want to hit the party scene in St. Bart's or elsewhere and let loose," unquote. Musk added, quote, "The invitation is much appreciated, but a peaceful island experience is the opposite of what I'm looking for," unquote. The newly released correspondence appears to show the entrepreneur interacting and making plans with Epstein over a period of more than a year. And that took place several years after Epstein pleaded guilty in 2008. And following up on this story about the feud between Anthropic and ChatGPT over being employed by the Pentagon, officials at several federal agencies have raised concerns about the safety and reliability of Elon Musk's XAI artificial intelligence tools in recent months. According to the Wall Street Journal, this highlights continuing disagreements within the U.S. government about which AI models to use. Throughout the government, agencies are racing to deploy AI. The looser controls on Grok and Musk's absolutist stance on free speech have made it a more attractive choice to the Pentagon. Other officials have questioned whether Grok's looser controls present risks. Sounds like Musk love. And while we're talking about security risks, news of the smart world.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
Israeli companies have developed and are selling advanced cyber tools that can hack into the tech of your car and use it to collect intelligence on you. That's spelled you. These tools can also assist in a cross-referencing of data to identify an intelligence target among tens of thousands of cars on the road. This technology can track the vehicle's movements in real time and potentially eavesdrop on the people inside the car. Ain't that cute? This is from the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. In recent decades, cars have become smart devices, a collection of computers on wheels with dozens of digital systems. The vehicle cannot properly function without an internet or cellular connection. Though this vastly improves the driving experience, really, it also severely risks privacy and has become a national security threat. In the intelligence industry, such information derived from vehicles is known as CARINT, car intelligence. A Haaretz investigation has found that at least three Israeli companies are currently operating in CARINT. One has developed an offensive tool, that's their description, that can potentially tap into your car's microphones and cameras. So be good, because it's a smart world. And now, introducing a new feature, the Epstein Apologies of the Week.
We're so sorry.
The Epologies. A prominent longevity influencer who charges six figures for his concierge practice, Peter Attia, joined CBS a couple months ago as part of a crew of splashy new contributors brought on by editor-in-chief Barry Weiss. A few days later, reports started to circulate that Attia's name appeared in recently released Epstein files more than 1,700 times. They suggested Attia was quite friendly with Epstein. In one message from 2016, Attia seems to have written to Epstein, quote, pussy is indeed low carb. Still awaiting results on gluten content, though. Unquote. In response to widespread outrage, Atiyah apologized for the emails, which he called embarrassing, tasteless, and indefensible. He stressed he was not involved in any criminal activity. He appeared to quickly part ways with some of the other companies where he served as an advisor. CBS remained notably silent on his future with the network. Reports initially speculated that Barry Weiss, head of CBS News, was standing by him. But in the end, he decided it was best to step down. A Nobel Prize-winning neuroscientist at Columbia University resigned from some of his positions with the institution over his ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Richard Axel, co-director of the Zuckerman Mind-Brain Behavior Institute. He won a Nobel Prize in 2004 for discovering over 1,000 special receptors in the nose that send olfactory information to the brain. But something, well, he couldn't detect a bad smell around a certain guy. Quote, my past association with Jeffrey Epstein was a serious error in judgment, which I deeply regret. I apologize for compromising the trust of my friends, students, and colleagues, he said. I recognize the problems this has caused. I will work to restore this trust. What has emerged about Epstein's appalling conduct, the harm he's caused so many people, makes my association with him all the more painful and inexcusable, unquote. The files show Axel was friends with Epstein, going to his home in Manhattan multiple times and helping the financier with connections to university officials. Of course, the university officials, they were looking for any source of funding, apparently. Another apology. Bill Gates took responsibility for his actions and addressed his links to convicted sex offender Epstein during a meeting with staff from his charitable organization. Quote, Bill spoke candidly, addressing several questions in detail. That's a statement from the Gates Foundation. Wall Street Journal reports Gates apologized to staff, say they had two affairs with Russian women, which Epstein later found out about in relation to the late financier. He said, I did nothing illicit. I saw nothing illicit. Unquote. Gates has come under renewed scrutiny over his relationship with Epstein. He's not been accused of any wrongdoing. He says it was a huge mistake to spend time with Epstein, but insisted he never spent any time with victims, the women around him. I apologize to other people who were drawn into this because of the mistake I made, he told staff. The Wall Street Journal reported Gates said images of him with women whose faces are redacted in the Epstein files were pictures that the late financier asked him to take with his assistants after their meetings. He told the foundation staff he met Epstein in 2011, years after Epstein pleaded guilty to soliciting a minor for prostitution. He added he was aware of some 18-month thing that had limited Epstein's travel, but he didn't properly check his background, according to the report. He says he never stayed overnight or visited Epstein's island. Relationship continued even after his ex-wife expressed doubts. He said, adding, quote, to give her credit, she was always kind of skeptical about the Epstein thing, unquote. And now a couple of more traditional apologies. Former Archbishop of Canterbury Rowan Williams has apologized after inadvertently failing to pass on allegations of abuse against the aforementioned Anthony Pierce. Allegations that Pierce had admitted abusing a 15-year-old were said to be known among senior clergy in the church in Wales in the 1990s. A written file was given to the then Archbishop of Wales, Alwyn Rice Jones. The allegations were then passed on to Jones' successor, Rowan Williams. However, he told a review he only briefly glanced at the file, didn't realize it contained allegations of criminal conduct. He then took the file with his personal papers rather than passing it on to his successor in Wales. When he became Archbishop of Canterbury in 2002, he accepts this was an error and said, quote, I regret it very much if my delay in reading it further complicated the process of dealing with the criminal activity. I'm very sorry indeed for any ways in which I contributed to the process of the church not adequately protecting the victims. However, inadvertently, some members of the Team USA's men's hockey team are expressing regret over laughing along to President Donald Trump's locker room joke about the women's hockey team. The men's team was celebrating their gold medal victory over Canada when Trump invited them via phone to the State of the Union address. They had to sit through that. He then joked that he would have to invite the women's hockey team, who also won a gold medal at the Games, or else, quote, "I do believe I probably would be impeached," unquote. The locker room could be heard on video filling with laughter. Now, some members of the U.S. men's hockey team are walking back that laughter. Team USA player Charlie McAvoy apologized for the behavior, saying he is certainly sorry for how we responded to it in that moment. And speaking of hockey, U.S. ice hockey star Brady Tkachuk has said he does not appreciate an AI video released by the White House that showed him insulting Canadians. He played in the victory over Canada at the Winter Olympics. In the wake of that win, the White House's TikTok account, sure you need one of those if you're running the federal government, published video of Tkachuk saying, "They booed our national anthem, so I had to come out and teach those maple syrup-eating effers a lesson," unquote. Tkachuk never said those words. In the video, which has been seen more than 10 million times, is labeled as, say it with me now, AI-generated. Quote, "Well, it's clearly fake because it's not my voice, not my lips moving," he said. "I'm not in control of any of those accounts. I know those words would never come out of my mouth, so I can't do anything about it," unquote. Tkachuk has good reason to distance himself from the video. He plays in the Canadian capital. He's captain of the Ottawa Senators, who are not, of course, real senators. Quote, "It's not my voice. It's not what I was saying. I would never say that. That's not who I am. So I guess I didn't like that video because that would never come out of my mouth and never had that thought." When the felon in chief called the U.S. team after their win, some believe Tkachuk could be heard shouting, "Close the northern border," as the president congratulating the team. He denied those claims, too. Quote, "I've been seeing stuff that people think it's me, but if you watch the video, it's not my voice or something that I never say. I don't know how that took a storm on its own when I give everything I have here. It's crazy when things go on social media, how fast they go. I would never say anything like that." Unquote. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the side effects of the week.
Elderly people with dementia-related psychosis have increased risk of death or stroke. Antidepressants may increase suicidal thoughts and actions and worsen depression in children and young adults. Call your healthcare provider right away to report new or sudden changes in mood, behavior, thoughts, or feelings, or if you develop suicidal thoughts or actions. Report fever, stiff muscles, and confusion, which can be life-threatening, or uncontrolled muscle movements, which may be permanent. High blood sugar can lead to coma or death, weight gain, increased cholesterol, unusual urges, dizziness on standing, falls, seizures, trouble swallowing, or sleepiness may occur.
Gee, I like the unusual urges. Don't take... Blockville's, the crypto lender backed by trading giant Susquehanna, has incurred losses of around $75 million during the recent crypto market downturn, according to two people with knowledge of the matter. Yes, it's still a crypto winter. This from CoinDesk. Blockville's is now looking for a buyer. I got that on me. Oh, one of the people said, who spoke on condition of anonymity because the matter is private, asked about the losses. Blockville's declined to comment. It suspended deposits and withdrawals last week. The rest of it's still good. And what the frack companies in California have been ordered by the state to stop injecting fracking wastewater into 11 well sites in Kern County. The order has been issued after fears were raised that the disposal of wastewaters from hydraulic fracturing operations in these wells could contaminate, you know, drinking water. The wells are located close to wells that are used for drinking and irrigation water. The close distance means the wells could become contaminated with high levels of your salts, your chemicals, and your metal particles, all of which are found in wastewater from fracking. ProPublica reports that it seems as though some of the fracking wastewater is now affecting clean drinking water. While no contaminated water from the clean wells has been found, the state has now ordered monitoring and testing of the wells thought to be affected. What the frack? Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time on these radio stations and on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego and Hawaii desks, to Pam Halstead and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO for help with today's broadcast. The email address for this program and lots of stuff to read and hear and watch, all at harryshearer.com and on my YouTube channel. And I'm writing on Substack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long from the Crescent City.